15 states vote on Super Tuesday, but with overwhelming wins in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, and Michigan, is Donald Trump now guaranteed to be the Republican presidential nominee? I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to discuss the current state of the presidential race, as well as what the stepping down of National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniels means for the party and the candidates in the 2024 election cycle. Let's get started. That is the magic number it takes within the Republican Party to secure the GOP nomination. Now, Super Tuesday is a term which has been in use since at least 1976 and marks the day where the greatest number of states hold primaries for their party's nomination. Now, 16 states are going to be holding their primaries today. This includes California, Colorado, Texas, my home state of Tennessee, Virginia, and North Carolina. 874 of the Republican Party's 2,429 delegates are awarded, which is about 36% of the total amount of delegates available. Democrats will also be awarding around 1,439, or 30%, of their delegate allotment. Now, Super Tuesday is almost always the day when candidates who are still in the race at that time recognize whether they have a real chance of winning the nomination. And in those rare election years when there is no incumbent running and both parties are competing, often Super Tuesday is a great way to judge engagement in each party. But for RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDaniels, there is not that much to be considered super about Super Tuesday. Now, announced last week, the chairwoman, who has been over the Republican National Committee for 7 years, said she will be stepping down on March 8th. Now, Ronna says it's been traditional for the chairperson to step down once the party has their nominee. However, some say this is long overdue after Republicans underperformed at the midterms and their future control of the House is not clear. But what does this new leadership mean for the remainder of the 9 months following today's primary results? Let's discuss this with our panel. Joining us today is Robert Petillo, lawyer and political commentator, and Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, who is an election integrity expert and the former Michigan Civil Rights Commissioner. She's also a staunch pro-life proponent and Christian author. You can find her book, Dyed in the Wool, anywhere books are sold. Welcome. I wanted to get all of your titles in because it's very, very important to me. And I want to start with you, Dr. Tarver, because Donald Trump pretty much has secured the Republican nomination even before today happened as Super Tuesday. However, Nikki Haley has refused to get out of the race after each major primary defeat, including her own state of South Carolina. So what does it benefit for Nikki Haley to be in the race after today?
So Ambassador Haley absolutely needs to utilize the funds that she has received. As a result, she is definitely going to go through Super Tuesday today in hopes that she can pick up a state and move on. But there's no path for her. But she definitely wants to make sure that the contributors to her campaign have the representation that they wanted as an alternative to President Trump.
Oh, that's, I understand that. But, you know, Robert, on the opposite side, you have the Democrats. Because do you feel like it kind of does a disservice to the Democrats that there was not really a viable challenger to Joe Biden? Therefore, they were not really able to accumulate all of the free media that usually comes around the campaign trail because Joe's just been doing his job.
No, Joe Biden, as with all incumbent presidents, did not face a primary challenger. I don't think anybody asked if there was going to be a primary challenger against Trump in 2020, for example, or Obama in 2012. It's just not what we do in our country. We give the incumbent the opportunity to run for his second term. And Joe Biden has done so. He has a strong second term message to run on. And I think given with the Nikki Haley question, Nikki Haley has a very clear path to the nomination. She believes that she sticks in here, accumulates delegates, that when Donald Trump goes to jail, she will be the clear heir apparent. Because if no one else has any delegates when Donald Trump goes to jail, then who exactly will the party pick? They will have nobody else to turn to. You'll have chaos at the convention. Nikki Haley wants to be able to walk into that convention and say, look, I picked up 20, 30 delegates. I'm the only other person with delegates. And therefore, by rule, I get to be the nominee, as opposed to Don Jr. or anyone else hopping in there trying to usurp her. So I think she has a very clear path that she's trying to follow going forward.
Oh, Robert, I love that answer. And I'm going to let Dr. Tarver answer, because the reality of it is with these delegates that are awarded to Donald Trump, especially after today's Super Tuesday, if he is able to accumulate a large amount, even if he, let's just say Democrats get their dream and he gets handcuffs and put away in jail and ineligible to run, do you think the Republicans who are elected as delegates for Donald Trump are going to support Nikki Haley, or are they more likely to nominate somebody else from the floor that has not necessarily taken on Donald Trump?
President Trump will be our nominee July 18th, which is our nomination in Wisconsin. He will be our nominee, and he certainly will be the nominee for us, regardless of the criminal cases that have been stored up for him. We know that these are witch hunts and these are election interference cases that have no weight. This is just a distraction. And with respect to Joe Biden, Joe Biden will likely not be the nominee in August when the Democrats meet. There is an onslaught of Democrats who are not particularly happy with it. When the special prosecutor Hur goes before Congress to explain himself on why Joe Biden was not able to be prosecuted, when he clearly, according to the report, clearly violated the law, because he is elderly and without memory. And so we're going to be able to get that answer. And I believe that the Democrats will choose yet another person to be their nominee. They intentionally kept out Kennedy out of this mix because they did not want any competition or any alternative to run against him.
Well, then there would be a debate, though. I'll have to say about this. Is Robert F. Kennedy, is he actually a Democrat? Robert Petillo, I want to get your take on if Biden will be your nominee. But I have to ask you, do Democrats actually identify, do you think, the majority of them with what Kennedy has to present as his platform?
Well, one, Joe Biden is the nominee. Joe Biden will serve a second term as president. These are things that are truisms in American politics. And I find it interesting that for Joe Biden to be this dementia-ridden old man who's also the head of an international crime syndicate who doesn't know how to get out of bed every morning and can't walk up a flight of stairs, but also is conspiring with governments around the world, et cetera, whatever Republican talking points are on Joe Biden, every Republican seems to be running away from him. Nikki Haley has been running against Kamala Harris for the past 6 months. Ron DeSantis was running against Gavin Newsom. He even did a debate against him. Donald Trump is running against the law. Vivek Ramaswamy was running against reality when he was in the race. But at the end of the day, Joe Biden has a record that the American people can be proud of. He has a record that apparently scares the GOP. And this is why they keep floating out all these names. I've seen people say, well, maybe Michelle Obama will run for president. Maybe, who was it? Maybe Kennedy will be the nominee, etc. Joe Biden has had the most successful first term of any president since FDR, legislatively. And I don't think that, I think this is the reason you see Republicans running to the hills trying to find anybody. The only reason Republicans would nominate somebody who has 91 felony charges against him, including being found liable for sexual assault and fraud, $500 million in debt, is they think that's their only chance of beating Joe Biden. And that's why they're dragging Donald Trump out here, despite all of his legal issues, because they think that's their only chance in 2024.
That is a great take on that one. Go for it, Dr. Tarver.
The Democrats are delusional to believe that this first term for Joe Biden is successful. Don't believe your lying eyes and don't believe your lying wallets. And that's the message that he has. We have Democrats here in Michigan that will not vote for Joe Biden. We have a laughingstock of the world here in Joe Biden. We have wars going on and we have an open border. And so I'm sorry, there are people in Chicago, if you are paying attention to anything, that will not vote for the Democrat Party and will not vote for Joe Biden. In Michigan, where I live, our homeless shelters are now full with illegals who have come across the border, and it has become a tragedy in New York. So we have high rent, high prices, high eggs and milk. I don't know where you shop, but I do the grocery shopping at my home. And the Bidenomics is absolutely not working.
Well, Dr. Tarver, I do want to point to the fact that you're in Michigan, and there's a large movement for those who are not agreeing with the Biden policy in regards to Israel and what is going on in Palestine. They're actually pushing for Muslim supporters to vote uncommitted in the Democrat primary. Is there much of a support for that, do you feel like, in Michigan? Or is this just, you know, a couple headlines for people to run with?
So what we're seeing is when you see an influx, an invasion, I would call it, across our southern border and even our northern border in Canada, where I live in Michigan, we see the larger cities, mostly black cities, urban communities being invaded. And this is a result of the policies of Joe Biden. We see in the auto workers, the electric vehicles are not selling in Michigan. I don't know where the gentleman hails from, but they're not selling in Michigan. And we have this anti-fossil fuel agenda. The auto workers are coming against Joe Biden. The Muslim population is coming against Joe Biden. The black men who are losing jobs to illegals are coming against Joe Biden. And we're seeing business owners and families that are coming against Joe Biden. So I'm not sure if we are to believe our lying eyes that Bidenomics is supposed to be working. But we are not better off today than we were under President Trump, who definitely has a positive record.
Okay, so, and I want to get to Ronna McDaniel real quick on this one, to search it. But real quick, Robert, do you feel like that the Democrat Party, and the Michigan primary was last week, we saw that result, but the fact that there was even that movement, is the Democrat Party splintered right now?
No, not at all. And I'm amazed to see Republicans now taking the side of Hamas terrorists against the president of the United States who wants to stand by our ally Israel. Joe Biden has been a rock-solid supporter of Israel and their right to exist. He stood with Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem after the October 7th attacks. And as he's been trying to get $15 billion of aid to Israel, not just to aid in the humanitarian crisis, but to give them the tools they need to fight the war against Hamas terrorists, we've had Republicans aligning them themselves with Rashida Tlaib and the squad in order to stop America from being able to handle our crucial national security interests of supporting our allies overseas. I've never thought I would live to see today when Republicans, the party of George W. Bush, would align themselves with Hamas just to take down Joe Biden. But it's very clear that the Democratic Party is united around Joe Biden. And the reason the Republicans are so afraid of him is because he is that moderate centrist voice. He is that voice who's willing to take on the left wing of his party and bring Americans together. He pushed forward the most conservative immigration plan that we've seen in the last 25 years. And I remind you, the Republicans walked away from the McCain-Kennedy compromise in 2005. They walked away from the Schumer compromise in 2013. They walked away from the Obama compromise in 2015. They walked away from Durbin-Rubio in 2018 when Donald Trump made his famous S-hole countries comment. They walked away from the 2021 reconciliation bill. Right. Now they've walked away from the Lankford bill. And now they want to blame Democrats for them walking away from immigration reform for the last 20 plus years. It's a ridiculous argument that the American people won't believe. And we know why we have migrants in northern cities, because Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis have been flying and bushing them there.
Robert, I want to go off that, but I have to get, before we go to the break with the doctor, I've got to ask real quick.
Yeah.
Talk about walking away. Ronna McDaniel is stepping down. I'm a little confused why, considering it was Trump's endorsement over Harmeet Dhillon to keep her position as RNC chair. Why now do you think that she's stepping down?
I believe that she will be a better asset for President Trump in the this primary season, the general election season. We know that President Trump, when he ran in 2016 and won the election of 2016, went from Corey Lewandowski to Kellyanne Conway. There is a shift in political strategy, and I believe that placing the right people at the right time is essential. And so him cinching the nomination and putting in people at the RNC that will definitely help him, it is all good, and I believe that it will be a successful strategy for him.
Okay, well, thank you. Hold on, Dr. and Robert, because let's take a quick break, because when we come back, former President Trump recently spoke to the Black Conservative Federation Gala and suggested black voters related to his multiple indictments. Well, we're going to discuss how this resonated when we return. Welcome back. You're watching 360 View. I'm Skynell Hughes. Now, former President Donald Trump spent time in South Carolina courting black voters at a time where President Joe Biden is hemorrhaging the minority vote in 2020. Trump garnered 50% more minority votes than he did in 2016. Now, a 2020 Bloomberg poll suggests he could grab 14 to 30% of the black vote. This is the most of any Republican presidential nominee in history. So let's bring back in our panel, Robert Petillo, lawyer and political commentator, and Dr. Linda Lee Tarver, election integrity expert and former Michigan Civil Rights Commissioner. Now, I want both of you to listen to the comments. I'm sure you've already heard them that President Trump recently made at the Black Conservative Federation Gala in Columbia, South Carolina, and I want to get your reaction.
But I got indicted for nothing, for something that is nothing. They were doing it because it's election interference. And then I got indicted a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. And a lot of people said that that's why the black people like me, because they have been hurt so badly and discriminated against. And they actually viewed me as I'm being discriminated against. It's been pretty amazing.
Robert, now you're usually not very sensitive. However, as a black American voter, what were your initial thoughts when you heard these comments right before the South Carolina primary?
It reminds me of the quote from Dr. King about the benign bigotry of low expectations, and that many Americans, well, many white Americans, still have this almost cartoonish view of the black community, that we are just a people obsessed with crime, and that we venerate and love people who are criminals, and that's somehow just part of the ethos of the black community. But then I thought to the black people who have endorsed President Trump. President Trump being supported by the rapper Sexy Red, whose famous song says, "My coochie pink, my booty hole brown." He's being supported by the rapper Waka Flocka Flame. He's being supported by the rapper Lil Wayne, Lil Uzi Vert. He's being supported by Lil Pump, Whoa Vicky. These are the people that Donald Trump thinks represent Black America. And so, of course, if you believe that that is what Black America is and what appeals to them, you're going to think that you being a criminal is what appeals to them. And we've heard from these people, the main reason that Donald Trump's support among African Americans upticked is because he governed as a socialist president and during his last term. They talk about the STEMI checks, the stimulus checks that came to people's houses. They talked about the PPP loans that people were exploiting and driving around with Gucci belts and brand new cars. And they associate that with President Trump. They associate Trump with not having to go to work, not having to go to school, free checks showing up, cheating on your wife, hanging out with porn stars, etc. And that's the lowest common denominator that President Trump is trying to appeal to. And he made it very clear in his speech that he thinks that a mugshot and going to jail will help him with the black vote, because that's what he thinks the black vote is.
Doctor, you were actually at the gala in South Carolina. You saw President Trump's speech. And sometimes we don't see the reaction in the room. What was the reaction from the crowd? And Trump's popularity within the black community has grown, but does he do a disservice for the reasoning behind that growth with comments like this? Or even, I'm even going to go as far as to say, the release of sneakers, as some saw that as a gimmick to try to recruit young voters.
So I don't know what reality your other guest is from, but I will tell you, in addition to Flocka Flocka Flave, I am also supporting President Trump, and I have not been to prison, and nor am I being a rapper. So I support him because of the policies that he has. He is not a racist at all, but I don't have to defend that because his results as president of the United States showed that. We had the lowest unemployment rate for black folks and genuine unemployment rate for Black business for Black folks, Black businesses supporting HBCUs, and we all were elevated as a result of the economic quality that we had. We were energy independent. We had he had support of the Black farmers and others who even make your food. So there are a lot of variety of different Black people. We are not in unison when it comes to having a one say. What I will say is this. President Trump getting gym shoes or reaching out, or it did not offend anyone in the room that I spoke with. As a matter of fact, my husband was in agreement that made up charges and made up criminal activity and the charges that are pending against him that have not even been litigated or prosecuted by anyone else in American history is certainly something that Black people can relate to. And that is that I can't speak for all Black people, and I don't believe your other guests can either. But I can speak for me and the people who were in that room. We were very supportive, and we were very supportive for the reason that we had a better life under President Donald Trump. And let me just share with you about the sneakers. President Trump is a businessman who knows how to make money. And that is what we want in the White House, not to hemorrhage money, but to make money. We've been spending on green energy, windmills, and everything else you can imagine, and getting rid of fossil fuels and electric vehicles and electric buses that are going nowhere under Biden. But this man has had perfumes and colognes. He still has Trump wineries. He has had Trump watches, Trump meat, Trump University, you name it. This man has put it out there on the market, placed his name on it, and was making money off of it. So I'm not going to hate the sneaker con. Sneaker con was not even created by Black men. There were three white men that that started sneaker con. And so President Trump put his brand out there to see how it went. I love the gold sneakers. And I'm not hating on a man who knows how to make money. I'm from Michigan and Lansing, Michigan. Magic Johnson is certainly one of the great basketball players out of Michigan and Michigan State University. He has diversified his portfolio, and he's doing a great work selling products and doing his wares. So if you follow the wealthy individuals, especially Black men and Black women who are making money, they are diversifying. They might be selling cologne one day and wine the next day and selling T-shirts and hats and you name it, and real estate and doing other types of businesses. And so that's what we live in, a constitutional republic. And I love the capitalism that Donald Trump respects. We are not a welfare nation. And so I take exception with what was described there because it's not birthed out of reality or truth. But I do know that this man knows how to make money, right. and we latch onto that as Black Americans and support him doing whatever he wants to with his brand.
Right. So, Robert, I got to ask you, you know, the doctor brought up some great entrepreneurial spirits, and that what she feels like might be recruiting some diversity. But are you a little shocked that of all of the Republican candidates that they've ever been able to present, why is Donald Trump actually being able to appeal to more within the Black American community than any other previously?
Well, as I said, you don't have to guess. You can talk to them and they will tell you. It's because of socialism. Donald Trump spent $8 trillion in 4 years. $8 trillion. And he spent a lot of that on just sending people free checks to sit at home, sending free checks to the
airline
industry.
Well, there was COVID. I mean, there was pandemic. You got to give him some credit because of the pandemic.
Republicans say they shouldn't have shut down anything. We shouldn't have mass mandates. We shouldn't have a vaccine or anything. You can't have it both ways. You got to pick a struggle. But I find it ironic that we are talking about the Trump sneaker con. Because this is a huge con. And think about all the entrepreneurial spirit we just talked about. The Trump Foundation, he was ordered to pay a $2.5 million fine for fraud. The Trump University, a $25 million judgment against him for fraud. The Trump Organization, a $450 million judgment against him for fraud. E. Eugene Carroll, an $85 million judgment against him for sexual assault and rape. And we're talking about that as being the entrepreneurial spirit. We have a presidential candidate entering the general election, three quarters of a billion dollars in debt. And we don't, and we think that's just fine. That's part of the entrepreneurial spirit that attracts people to him. He governed as a socialist. He was bankrupt in his personal life. He bankrupted himself 14 times, I believe. He paid $700 in taxes the last time he paid taxes. Now he's $750 million in debt. He's been running cons the entire time. And we are going to say that's the entrepreneurial spirit that makes people want to vote for him.
Okay.
Give me a break.
So, Robert, I like what you're saying because you're obviously pointing out why you feel like that there might be an attraction to Donald Trump. But I got to ask you, why are Democrats losing those same minority votes, though? I mean, if they're going to Donald Trump, why can't the Democrats be able to retain them?
Oh, very easily. The Democrats have a humongous problem with treating minority voters like an ugly girl on a Saturday night. They act as if I can just always pull up at 2 a.m. and they'll always be there for me. That's not the way you keep voters loyal. When you think about the things that they promised to the African-American community in the 2020 election, we were promised a George Floyd Justice Policing Act. Never got passed, never got to a vote. We were promised a John Lewis Right to Vote Act, protection for voting rights. Never got to a vote, never passed. And we were promised a Tyree Nichols duty to intervene that when it comes to criminal justice reform. Never even voted on it, never had a hearing on it. We were promised a passage of H.R. 40, the State Commission on Reparations that John Conyers has been working on for the last 50 plus years. Never even voted on it. So the reason you're hemorrhaging support is a lack of action. You can't talk about all the great things you got done during your first term. It's a long line of great things you got done, and then say, well, I couldn't get anything done for black people. And the same thing for Muslim Americans in Michigan, as you stated, with Rashida Tlaib, who say they disagree with President Biden's policy towards Palestine and towards the Middle East. Same thing with Latino voters who were promised a pathway to citizenship, who were promised a help with the Dreamers, who were promised comprehensive immigration reform. So when you talk about the things that were promised versus what was delivered, that's why Democrats are hemorrhaging support with minorities, but they still have time to correct that. But it doesn't mean they're going towards Trump. It just means they're not motivated to vote for the party that's not delivered for them.
Ah. Interesting. And I've got to end it there. Dr. Tarver, Robert Petillo, we could go on as this subject's going to continue to be talked about for the next 9 months till Election Day. Thank you so much for your take. You know, the things which make Super Tuesday so super to most Americans is after today in 15 states, there will be a great reduction of annoying political ads and their phones will stop ringing with all of the robocalls. In any other election cycle, tomorrow would be the start of the main competition between both parties' nominees. However, I think most Americans feel like me that the 2020 campaign season, well, it never really ended. And we are just on this continuous merry-go-round of promises, which will eventually be broken, and pandering to groups rather than looking at individual needs. You know, the average voter has no idea who is their leader of their political party, or that there is even a central office staff. And while so many conservatives are cheering the stepping down of Ronna McDaniel as if they achieved the victory, I guarantee whoever is put in her place is already set up to be hated, and it's a lot easier to blame the head of a political party for losses rather than the real reason, which is too often a poor choice of candidates. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news that's affecting you. Thanks for watching.